What's up, everybody? Welcome to Above the Board Podcast with Josh
and Phil,
where we keep it above the board with Josh
and Phil.
Try to draw that last one out a little bit more.
Yeah, I felt like I had to do something new. Above the Board is recorded in front of a live streaming audience at twitch.tv/above the board.
Beautiful.
And you can catch past streams and podcasts on abovetheboardpodcast.com.
Nailed it. You got it.
Whoop, whoop.
I'm so proud of you.
Magic of editing.
Yeah. So, yeah, this is our Geeking On portion of this episode, series of episodes. And, yeah, I got to be honest with you, before we dive into, like, you know, going back and forth.
Yeah.
Just forewarning you now, and I can clump it if I need to. But I was, like, last week years old when I discovered that I think I have seasonal depression.
You know? Are we going to geek on that?
No. Just the simple fact that, like, I get so, not, like, depressed, like, sad, but just, like, ugh, about winter, like, January, February, you know? That, like, I jump around and find, like, I obsess over anything that I like. You know what I mean? Like, to a degree that I feel like I don't really do the rest of the year.
You resist the seasonal depression with
maximizing
your geeking on.
Yes. Okay. So, like, I have a lot of different experiences to potentially talk about.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
I feel like I haven't done anything different since last time, so maybe this will work out.
Okay. Great. That's good. We can just, you know, riff off me, I guess, if you need to.
All right. Before we get started, I want to shout out our t-shirt game. I like your TVA shirt.
Yeah, absolutely. And yours rocking the Halo.
Classic Halo.
Very nice, very nice. With the Bungie logo.
Yeah, I bought it from Bungie.com just to have the Elite on it.
Yes, that's so cool.
So
it's very good. We do have some true geek t-shirt game on today.
So I guess, what are you geeking on?
So one of the more recent things, as in like 2 days ago, I've done it, Philip. I finally did it. After all these years of apologizing for movies.
I'm at the edge of my seat.
Oh, man. Hang on. I've seen it. I've done it. The worst comic book movie to be put to film. Yes. Madam Web.
Oh, jeez.
It's actually not the worst. I take that back. But I was it's not great.
It seemed fine for what it was.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because
it's in the Morbius cinematic universe, right?
if by that you mean, like, Sony.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Because, like, so I was talking to my buddy about it. It takes place in 2003.
That's all I had to tell me. Now I regret not seeing it.
Yes. So, a really good friend of mine saw it.
Does it bother you that, like,
a few days ago.
Year I graduated high school is now, like, a period piece?
Yeah. Does it bother you? Should be bothering.
I'm kind of excited.
Yeah. Dude.
It's like we turning 30, I was like, this is dope. Waiting Room Music is all like my favorite songs. You know, it's like Nirvana on strings. You're like, great.
It's like the, that elevator music, like elevator, like System of a Down.
Yeah. You're like, yes.
This is fantastic.
Chop suey me all the way to the 30th floor.
Can we put that on a t-shirt?
That's our official t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, we should make some for Gen Con. Yeah. Let our fans buy them.
Or, like, just, like, stickers of our sayings, you know?
That's
and
true.
Just start, like, slinging them at
That's
people.
That's the real thing. We should, like, have.
Shricking them at people. Like, ooh, what was that? And it's a sticker that says, chop suey me all the way to the 30th floor. But you know what the real treat will be? Is when we see how many, like, Stanley Cups and laptops and, like, game bags or whatever, I don't know, that have our stuff on it.
Oh, that,
That's
yes.
the real treat. Anyway, so back to Madam Web. We digress sometimes. No, I took Sadie to see it just a couple days ago. And we had a blast together, as we always do.
Yeah.
How do I describe this to you? It really isn't the worst comic book movie ever. It's not as bad as people make it out to be. It's still not good. Like, let's be clear. But it's, I just don't know. They knew what they were doing. Like, everyone involved. From the director to the cinematographer. No one knew what was going on. And, like, half of it felt like they were like, I've never worked on a film before.
Oh, jeez.
You know? The dialogue is atrocious.
This is a huge criticism on it.
Yeah.
But I feel like I really want to see it now.
Dude,
the more you talk, the more I want
to see. Why I want to see it, because everyone kept talking about how bad it was, right?
But
it's
a
Spider-Verse movie.
Is it that perfect kind of bad where it's like fun?
Yes.
Because it's bad?
Yes, yes. It's not it's not a painful bad. I will say that. There are moments that you could qualify painful, like the villain. Yeah. The villain is painful bad. Let me be clear. The villain is so bad that I think over 80% of his lines are ADR. And that's no exaggeration. You don't see this dude's mouth move for like a good chunk of the time that he's in the film. It's like his face, and then it cuts to the back of his head, and then he talks.
Oh, man.
When he does talk, there's, I counted 3 or 4 times where his lips don't match what is being said.
Oh, my god!
And it was one of those things where I was like, am I seeing this? Like, who okayed this? Who saw this at a screen and was like...
I would say that's like the problem with modern Hollywood blockbusters is how much they do in post, you know?
Yes. And this one is just like, I mean, it's like lathered on, you know, like a honey bun. I mean, it's just sticky with ADR and like weird editing choices.
That's
you know?
True. Because it's like doing the short films I've done or whatever, I know you make weird editing choices because you're like, this is the footage we have.
And I feel
this
like
is the only way it works.
I feel like there's several times where like there's transitions or there's just like, not even a transition, but there's like a special effect would be involved and they would edit it weird. And I was kind of like, what? Like, it's like you get slapped in the face. Like, it's so like jarring and like out of nowhere. And then there's like a lot of the action. Well, first off, there's not a lot of action, but the small amounts of action that does take place in it, that's usually is like weird. The camera follows the movement.
Yeah.
Versus like tracking the movement.
Ooh.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So like a good choreographed like or a well shot action scene like John Wick, for example.
There's so few good shot action scenes.
That's
nowadays.
The only one that I can really like.
Yeah.
Comes to mind. That's like a masterpiece in filming an action sequence.
Yeah, I know. When I finally saw John Wick or whatever, I was like, oh my gosh, these fight scenes are in a wide shot. What is happening?
It's incredible. It's so good, and they only get better too. Like with these John Wick movie. But anyway, like, so like, you know, those are masterpieces of how to film an action sequence, even if it's just like 20 seconds long, you know?
Oh, right.
This one, like, there's like a sequence where the bad guy is taking out cops in like the subway, like docking area. The camera's just like choo choo, choo choo, like back and forth and like upside, flips upside down for no reason, just to make it look cool, I guess.
Oh my gosh.
And like Sadie turns to me, she's like, I'm like getting dizzy.
Oh no.
Like, super disoriented. Can't follow what's going on, you know?
Yeah.
And half time it's just like weird action shot and then there's like a body on the floor. And like,
ugh.
Like, oh, okay, cool. So my friend was also, he goes, what Spider-Verse does it take place in? Like, is it the Tom Holland one? Is it the Andrew Garfield one? Or the Tobey Maguire one? Or is it maybe part of the animated one? But like the live action version of like the animated world.
Also, let's see, if it's 2003, then maybe it's the Tobey Maguire Spider-Verse.
You'd think that, but Peter Parker, spoiler alert, is born in this movie. Oh, that's the other thing too, that my other big complaint about the movie is that like they could not stop cramming Spider-Man references or Easter eggs down my throat. I was going to like puke.
All right.
For the amount.
That's like a, you know, I don't like just intertextual like,
oh my gosh,
shout outs.
So bad, dude.
Ugh.
Like, so again, spoiler, but like one of the Adam Scott's in it. He's in the trailer, but he plays Ben Parker. We all know who Ben Parker is. We all know what happens to Ben Parker at some point in his life.
Yeah.
They're driving through Queens and he's like, can you like be careful? Because they're EMTs or whatever. And they're in the ambulance. He's like, can you be careful? And she's like, her response was like a quirky, like one-liner kind of deal. But she says, what's the matter, Ben? You don't like being shot at Queens?
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's like dark.
Womp womp. Yeah. And so it's like, everyone in the...
Insert that gif of Spider-Man shopping in the grocery store. And he finds that box of Uncle Ben's rice and breaks down crying.
Yeah, yeah. And then also, like 10 minutes later, he goes, well, I'm seeing somebody. And she's like, what's her name? And he's like, a knowing look.
Oh.
You know.
Stares hard at the camera.
Wink! Everyone knows who I'm seeing. We got it. It's a Spider-Man movie without Spider-Man. Wonderful.
Oh my gosh.
But yeah, no, it is like one of those movies where it's so bad it is enjoyable. Like, my friend that saw it, that he was like, you should go see it. He's like, it's one of those ones that I feel like if it were an earlier era, it'd be like a Friday night rent.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you have a bunch of buddies over, like after school.
Yeah.
And, like, your parents get you a pizza from, you know, Papa John's or Domino's or wherever. Cece's Pizza. Pizza.
No, never.
Which one? Which one do you say never to?
Cece's.
I thought you liked CC's.
No, I like pizza buffets.
Okay.
Because you just make up for how bad it is by eating more of it. That, so when you're at like a quarter a slice, you're just making money.
Makes sense. That sounds like you're giving yourself ulcers. Or something worse. What about you, Phil? What are you geeking on? Don't say Starfield.
No, I'm not. I'm not. Kidding. I've played it for a total of an hour since our last recording.
Oh, wow.
So.
Sorry.
No news there.
Okay.
But I'm just proud of myself because I'm going hard. Like, I'm in the top 15,000 Marvel Snap players this season.
Nice. That is, I mean, hey, something to be proud of.
Yeah.
Tote that flag.
I know. I'm stoked. I really leveled up my game because I'll do these Twitch drops where if you're like watching another player, like, they'll give you free stuff in the game, so just put up in the background.
Yeah.
And he said this one thing where he's like, if you play your wombo combo card, go ahead and snap.
Yeah.
That's a game changer for me. Because I'm like, duh, that's so obvious.
Yeah.
If I'm making my big play, I should snap. Yeah, let me get the double points for it. Because I play enough where it's like I'll hold out to the final round where it's auto-snap anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So if I snap on round 3 or 4 when I play my combo and it doesn't work out, I still lose 2 as if I stayed in the whole time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Interesting.
So my, like, cube rate has just gone way up because I'm making better snap decisions.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So. I've seen a lot of stuff about, like, have there been, like, character pack releases? Like, new characters that have been running?
Oh, like, they've, like, adjusted their economy a lot since the game started. So now, like, every season, if you buy the season pass, there's a character.
Yeah.
And then every week, they release a new character.
Oh, wow.
And
for just Season Pass or for everybody?
For everybody, but it's like in this weird way of that when you level up your collection level, you get like a spotlight key.
Mm.
And the spotlight key gives you like 1 of 4 cards, and one of them is the new character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so they're constantly adding new characters in. I feel like they're doing a really good job of maintaining the meta and keeping it interesting.
Mm.
Like once a month, they'll adjust numbers on stuff to keep things fair. And then, like I said, they're always putting in new characters. And then, like, once a month, they'll also, like, do, like, a reworking of some stuff that's, like, busted. It's just, like, in a good place. And right now, one of the decks that's really successful is Hela, Loki's villain.
Mm-hmm.
You play her, and every card you discarded previously to playing her, you place randomly on the board. And so, I like
that seems
high RNG decks.
Crazy, yeah.
And because one of the new cards they introduced is you play them, and you discard 2 random cards from your hand. When you do, you get +1 mana every turn. What is it? Energy?
Yeah.
Snap juice? I don't know.
Snapple.
And then, so yeah, so you can play her like ahead of curve and stuff. And I'm having a blast with it.
Nice, man.
And I think the deck list I'm playing, though, has good plays without Hela. I'll randomly discard her at the beginning and my opponent will snap on me. But then I'll like draw into my other plays and beat them anyways.
Cool.
But I'm a gentleman. Because the bad...
You're not a bully?
No. The bully, bad manners, and snap is if someone snaps against you and you win, you just start spamming the Thanos emote where he's snapping.
Makes it does so seem bad.
It's
rude.
So... It is.
It's like
so
the
dumb.
Halo teabagging.
It is. Marvel snap. It is. And it's just kind of like, bro, the whole game is snapping. If you're not losing some of your snaps, you're not snapping enough.
Yeah.
Like, why are you being a tool?
Pro tip, don't be a tool when you're Marvel snapping.
Yes, we stay above the board.
We're not Marvel snap tools. We're Marvel snap
jewels.
There you go. Very good. Man.
All right. What are you geeking on?
So, Amazon Prime came out with a new show at the beginning of February called...
Did you see a season finale?
I have not seen the finale. I'm like almost to the finale.
Okay.
But it is fantastic. It is... It's written... I think he's one of the showrunners. He definitely like co-created it.
Yeah.
And then the writer, the main writer of the show, she wrote Swarm from last year.
I talked about. Okay, yeah.
And she also, the same writer who did the last two seasons of Atlanta.
Oh.
So arguably the two best seasons of that show.
For sure.
And then also his brother has written or directed a couple episodes.
Okay, yeah. I know he's
and,
one of his...
Hero, the guy who did a lot of directing of Atlanta.
Okay. You know what I'm talking about?
He's done a couple episodes.
Nice.
But it's so good, dude. It's fantastic. Like, it is classic. His style of humor.
Uh-huh.
Just that whole... Everything is very natural and organic feeling. Like, the dialogue and the conversations they have. Like, nothing seems super dramatically scripted. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like highbrow espionage stuff. It's like...
Yeah.
If Earn from Atlanta... passed his spy test. You know what I mean? It's kind of like that a little bit.
So he's like real mellow?
Yeah, yeah.
But they're doing spy stuff?
Yeah. It's so good. There's like, you know, the element of... I didn't know that the Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie movie was based off an older movie that was based off a TV show.
What?
I had no idea.
I have no idea.
I thought it was all like an original thing.
Yeah.
But apparently there was like a show in the 80s, I think. 70s or 80s with Scott Bakula.
What?
And Maria Bello. So the 2005, 4 or 5 movie, whatever it was, that was a, like, a, you know, a remake of the series. Yeah. And then this is a remake of both the 2005 and the series. Because it's like really dwelling into the whole like mystery of like who are the company is that like runs the Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Uh-huh.
Like spy cells and all this other
stuff. So, right, but they don't, they're like rival spies, right?
No.
Oh.
So that's the thing, too, is that the Mr. and Mrs. Smith, they're rival spies, right? Like, they don't know that each other are spies.
Uh-huh.
And this one, they go in knowing, like, they're assigned to each other.
Oh, okay. So they're not, like, legit married, they're, like, fake married. Right. Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah. They have to, there's certain parameters, I guess, they have to meet in order to be accepted into the program. Like, they have to agree to, like, no outside communication.
Uh-huh.
But then they have, like, they get their own place. They have, like, all the stuff that, like, makes it seem like they're actually married.
Right.
But it's just so good. It's so good. I love it. It's fantastic. Like, there's a bunch of big celebrities are in it, too, that, like, make random cameos. Like, John Turturro's in an episode.
Okay.
Like, super randomly. I was like, I think the highlight of it is definitely the chemistry between the two leads, Donald Glover and Maya Erskine. She's from Pen 15 on Hulu.
Okay.
I don't know if you ever watched that show.
I haven't.
Highly recommend it, though. I think the whole season's out. I think it actually might have dropped all at once, actually.
Okay.
Might have been like a season dump.
What's wrong with Amazon shows that people don't talk about them?
I don't know, man. Which ones are you referring to?
I don't know. I can't think of any.
Let's say people always talk about, like, The Boys.
That's true. That's a big
Reacher.
One. Reacher's big, I guess.
I mean, I think Boys is pretty much, like, their flagship, I guess.
And then a lot of people, like, complain about Lord of the Rings.
I don't mind it. What about you? What's next?
I'm watching Better Call Saul now.
Interesting.
And
what do you think?
It's really good.
Yeah.
I just got into season 4.
Okay.
It's wonderful. It's really good. I mean, I liked Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And,
this is only natural progression for you then.
Right. I figured I'd check it out. And, a lot of people are like, oh, some people say it's better. And I was like, might be. It's pretty good.
Yeah. I think my thing is I like Bob Odenkirk better.
Yeah. Well, it's like I also like his...
Aaron Paul. Or, not better than Bryan Cranston, but definitely better than Aaron Paul.
But I think... his character is also a little bit more likable.
Yeah.
Like, because Heisenberg or whatever, his was a story of becoming an evil villain. You know?
It was a villain story,
and so,
for sure.
It was, like, kind of a drags you down.
Yeah. Like, and the further along he gets.
Yeah. Like, you're kind of like rooting for him. You're like, oh, he's cool. But then you're like, oh, he's not a nice person.
He's not a good guy.
And so it's interesting because that Breaking Bad to me, it's like about power and powerlessness, you know, it's kind of the. And so this Better Call Saul is kind of like more about relationships. Jimmy doesn't know who he is in relation to everyone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that whole dynamic with his brother is just wild to me.
Yes.
And intense and exciting and makes me feel feelings. And
yep.
It was really good. And I just like, I can't get over how much subtext there is in the show. I think that's what makes it so good.
Yeah.
Is it's like, because something is happening in the show to like convey the characters feeling the opposite of what's happening, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many good moments like that, that I'm just like, this is just well done television.
It is, and man. It's like, that and Breaking Bad are like two, like, peak TV shows.
It is, yeah, yeah. And so I think my only complaint about Better Call Saul is the amount of, like, pointing at, like, oh, this is Breaking Bad adjacent.
Oh,
you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
I was kind of like, this seems a little unnecessary.
There's a lot of that in Madam Web, but for Spider-Man.
I know. But there's not a lot of it in this show. And I feel like they do a good job of making the plot about these characters who are, like, from Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Without it being, like, overly like, oh, this is behind the scenes of Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
You know, so that's cool. And I'm surprised how far the show has gone and he hasn't become Saul Goodman yet.
Yeah.
Which is surprising
to me.
Is
there six seasons?
I believe there's six seasons.
Yeah. And
I just started season four.
Okay.
I like how each season starts with like his fake identity as a Cinnabon manager.
Yeah.
Like, that's interesting. It does. It kind of makes you, like, remember where he ends up. And it's kind of like, how's he get there? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, it's a pretty good show. I don't know why I didn't think you'd watch it, but I'm happy to hear that you are. I guess I also forgot you watched Breaking Bad.
I was like, yeah, Breaking Bad, I feel like, is maybe a little, like, I waited a while before I watched it.
Yeah.
And there's less offensive content in Better Call Saul than there was in Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
So that helps me enjoy it more, I guess.
Yeah, I think for Breaking Bad, I just thought it might have been too dark for you, you know? Like,
yeah.
There's some people you just like, I just wanted to protect you, Phil. You
thanks, know? Thanks.
Don't watch the
no,
super
like, that's the thing.
Stuff.
So, I like, good character development, like, always, like, gets me.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's why Breaking Bad is such a good show, is because that character arc is so well handled and taken care of. And it is, and even when there's the violence or the, you know, adult content.
Debauchery. We'll say.
It's like part of his character arc. Like, it's like that subtext again. It's like reflecting who he is and what he's going through on his journey. It's not just like, wouldn't it be cool to see someone get shot while they're in a strip club? You know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I got
gotcha. So I gotcha. It is, yeah. So it's like, it's tasteful.
Yeah.
And like, so there is,
that's true though. It's
yeah,
so true.
Like, there's a lot of stuff that if it had that same content in it, I'd probably just turn it off.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I'm wasting my time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like Breaking Bad, it was like, this is good enough storytelling
that
this is meaningful.
Hang on to it.
Yeah.
Totally.
And so.
For sure.
And so, like, I feel like Better Call Saul is doing the same thing, but like he's like a better guy. Like, he wants to be a good guy. I thought in season one, there was this like, because the his buddy, who's like the fixer, who's the ex-cop. He has that dialogue with that, like,
Mike?
Yeah, Mike has that conversation with that nerdy guy who wants to be like a drug dealer or whatever.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you're a criminal now. And he's like, I'm not a bad person. And he's like, I didn't say you're a bad person. I said you're a criminal. He's like, I've met good people who are criminals and bad people who are criminals. I met good people who aren't criminals and bad people who aren't criminals. And I was like, that is like the show. Like, in a nutshell.
Sure.
Like, Jimmy is like struggling to be a good person, but he doesn't know what that is.
Yeah.
And he's not uncomfortable being a criminal. But he's also a lawyer, so he tries not to be.
Exactly.
So good. So good.
It's very good. You need to watch El Camino next.
Oh, I will.
It's the Jesse Pinkman.
I know.
Sequel.
And now I'm like worried. I'm watching them out of order, but I'm like, who cares?
I assume it's all good. It's fine. Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised with El Camino.
I'd heard it was good too.
It was very,
so,
very good.
But it's just like, I like movies more than TV shows. I've expressed this before, And so it's just like, with TV shows, though, I don't feel bad about, like, stopping it. Or, you know, and it's, like, smaller chunks. Mm-hmm. But, like, a movie I feel like I need to watch together. I don't have anything to say about it, but I'm just going to say it. I'm stoked the TV shows are back.
Yeah.
It's just, like, nice watching new episodes of shows.
Yeah, now, like, it's so great because I'm not just scrolling for stuff anymore. And it's yeah. like, oh, this is back on. Like, Rookie's back.
Yeah.
And
Can
Will
we...
Trent's back.
I know, like, when my wife finished watching our show, it was about to be like, Will Trent? And I was like, Will Trent? And she's like, do you want to watch that? I was like, I don't think so, but I just like his name now. Maybe next time
I think it's like,
I'm digging
like
for shows.
Like, if you're not, like, into it, like, it's one of those, like, in-between season shows. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait till all the spring stuff comes out, and then there's, like, a little bit of a drought before all the fall stuff comes out.
Right.
Maybe watch it then, if you got the time. Maybe. Me?
Go ahead. What are you geeking on?
So, last episode I talked about how I'm getting really back heavy into music.
Yeah, yeah.
And just, like, wanting to stay on top of the music scene as far as, like, following artists and, you know, getting into all that again like I used to back in the day. So, for the past week, I've been just, like, hunting down from 2023, like, top albums of the year. And okay. listening to them, like, start to finish uninterrupted.
Oh, nice.
And it's been a really cool experience. Feeding into that, I started going back, you know, January and, like, throughout the month of February and, like, looked at a bunch of, like, big albums that came out then and listened to those uninterrupted. And I've already found a couple people that I'm going to start following now. There's a band called The Smile, and, like, half of the band is, like, 3/4 of Radiohead.
Oh, snap.
Which is pretty sweet.
Yeah, that's a really high amount of Radiohead.
Yeah, and then Modest Mouse produces this other band. They're called Future Islands.
Yeah.
And they have this, like, synth-pop kind of sound vibe to them. But they really just sound like a mellowed-out Modest Mouse. So if you like Modest Mouse, or if you're familiar with them...
Oh, no, I am. I like their vibe.
Yeah, the Future Islands is just more of, like, a... Modest Mouse is, like, more poppy and, like, kind of, like...
Oh, yeah, cool, yeah.
Fast-paced, you know?
Right.
Future Islands is, like, the same sound and vibe. Like, they sound very similar, but it's just, like, way more chill and, like, kind of a little bit more folksy, maybe. A little bit more just, like, relax and sit around and listen to it versus car jams, you know?
I feel like
that's what
Modest
Mouse kind of is, you know?
I hear that.
But, yeah, and then Usher came out with a new album.
Called Roller Skates?
What? No.
I was just thinking about a Super Bowl performance.
Oh, I was like, where did you
hit? I was like, that's topical. That's a recent reference.
It's called Coming Home, which doesn't make any sense to me because on the album cover is like him holding a peach. He's not from Atlanta or Georgia.
Really?
He's from Texas.
Texas peach? Nope, haven't heard of it.
Right? Like, what is this about? Like, I don't understand. But
maybe he did a James and the Giants peach thing, like in real life.
Yeah, like he ate a crocodile tongue and then and then he just crawled into a giant peach.
Yeah.
And flew across New York chased by a rhino or whatever the heck it was.
And that's his real home.
Yeah, that's great. And then his real family are the bugs he met along the way. And then he wakes up in a bed and he's completely naked and he's like, I'm never eating that again, whatever it was. And then Tim Burton rolls over and spoons him because that's where the aesthetic of the dream came from. You know what I mean? Isn't that good? That's a good visual.
That's wild.
But no, so Usher's new album is actually, like, it's not like a club banger.
Right,
know?
Yeah.
I was actually telling Randy, my wife, I was like, it's so funny, like, how much mature this album is. Like, it's about, like, handling your emotions.
Oh.
Like in a relationship, yeah, and paying mortgages, you know, making sure that your cars don't get repossessed, stuff like that, paying child support.
Oh, no.
But no, the first 2 or 3 songs are about, instead of like, well, you know, forget you, I'm just going to go like hook up with some chick in a club.
Right.
It's like about dealing with like anxiety from like a breakup, you know what I mean? But like in a good way,
nice.
Like it's like a good song. It's not like what am I listening to? Like it's actually like, it's a bop. I just can't imagine being a bop at a club. You know what I mean?
I like sad bops.
Because that'd be a weird bop. But anyway, so what about you? Anything New and exciting for you, Phil?
Nothing, not new, but apparently my daughter's a Swiftie now or whatever.
Yeah?
And so just the way her friends, anytime they're into something, they're like, I'm in my hair tie era or whatever. Everything's an era.
It is, man.
So I just realized I'm in a Ninja Turtles era right now.
Currently?
Yeah, right now? I am. It's just good. Like, I'm just real excited about Ninja Turtles. Yeah. They're in Fortnite. So
yeah,
I bought some V-Bucks, so now I can play as Ninja Turtles there.
Oh boy. They just announced like a day or two ago that the sequel to Mutant Madness or whatever is coming out in 2 years?
Yeah.
26, I think.
So I'm excited. They're also like, it's like the 40th anniversary of Turtles or whatever.
This year's 24?
Yeah.
Okay, cool, cool.
And so the Lost, now I can't think of the word era, the Lost Years. Oh, it was a sequel to The Last Ronin. There's a...
Oh!
And I read that. Yeah. Good read.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like going to do a whole spin-off series that come out this year about the new Ninja Turtles in the future.
Yeah.
And, interesting.
Are they going to be like cyborgy?
No. I mean, a lot of their enemies are.
Yeah.
It's very much like a reset, except the world is way more advanced. Cyberpunk.
Oh, okay.
It's like a cyberpunk.
But they're the same old turtles we know and love.
No, because they're the new ones.
Oh. Are they the same colors?
No. I mean, I don't know. It's like kind of black and white. So this, okay. So Last Ronin, we talked about that in the past.
Yeah.
Where it's like a revenge story about Shredder's kid. But in it, they deal with some things about how being near the mutant turtles affected April. And then her and Casey had a kid. And before Michelangelo dies, he trains her to be a sensei. So the Lost Years is cutting between the years after the turtles died and Michelangelo came back for his revenge. And the future where they found these other turtles that got affected by the turtle mutagen.
Okay.
And so now Casey Jones and April O'Neil's daughter is the sensei to these four new turtles.
Very cool.
And they've all got like Greek mythology names or something.
That's legit.
And they're two of them are girls, two of them are boys, and they got like way more different, kind of like the new cartoon, how they've got their artistic interpretation. Each one has kind of their own character and shape and style.
Yeah.
These new ones are like that too. They're like four different kinds of turtles.
Yeah.
And but there's still like that teenager's rivalry thing going on. And so that's getting its whole series coming out this year.
Nice. Very cool.
And then I think they're also doing some other kind of throwback. There's like two or three like new comic series coming out and stuff. So
Turtles.
Yeah.
Turtles all the time.
I know. It's my Ninja Turtles era.
Ninja Turtles era. Speaking of comics, though, I'm going to give you one for you to borrow because...
Sweet.
You need to read it. You'd like it. It's kind of a timey-wimey, or it's turning out to be a timey-wimey book, but it's called The Displaced. And I just picked up issue one not too long ago, and I just got around to reading it. Quick read. Great read. The premise is that there's this city in Ontario, Canada.
Okay.
There's like... 170,000 citizens, and like the book focuses on three or four, maybe a little bit more of that, maybe like five or six individuals, like kind of going about their daily lives, like different random things, like ones that like at the same bar that all the high school graduates like go to and hang out at, ones like
other countries where teenagers can drink.
Right. Like, so silly, drinking age 13. I don't know if it's that. But, you know, and like a married couple with a newborn, like they ran out of diapers. So she's like going to go get like at 2 a.m. She's got to go get diapers. Stuff like that, right? And then the big premise is that the town just vanishes and there's like a sinkhole. And so people are dealing with that. And so 170,000 people are supposedly dead. But then like as the book progresses, no one remembers the town.
Ooh.
Like the town's just gone. And the last panel is something super cool. I was like, Philip would like this.
This sounds like my kind of thing.
Yeah. And there's like a really cool twist. Like, it doesn't just disappear and people just don't forget about it. Like, they just like solidify this like mystery that I don't want to spoil for you.
Okay.
That just kind of makes it super, super cool. All
right. So this was just like a single issue of a comic?
Single issue of a comic. It just started, I want to say, in February. I think it was a new release in February. And the next issue's coming out, like, in the next week or two.
All right. I'm interested.
But I'm just going to let you remind me when you leave and all.
You're a good comic collector.
Yeah?
I'm a bad one. I only buy trades.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I try to, like...
You keep the industry alive.
I like look at the wall, you know, and I'm just like, I look at the staff picks, or not staff picks, but new releases first, and then I'll look at staff picks, and then I'll kind of like just, you know, go from there. Sometimes I'll just like buy an issue of a run and then never buy.
Yeah.
And you know, like, you know, I won't keep up with it. And then like next time I go back to the store, it's like issue 12 when like the last one was like issue 1. Like I was just here like a month ago.
What changed?
What is going on? But yeah, no. So that I think you'll really enjoy it. It's super cool. There's a lot of cool sci-fi elements that you and I both dig. But then not comics, but there's a book also I just read called Whale Fall. One of the most surprisingly good reads. So the premise is a dude gets swallowed by a sperm whale.
Okay.
While he's looking for the remains of his dad, like out in the Pacific Ocean. Like it's just a long shot, like his dad died in this one area and he's going to go look for his dad's body. And he gets swallowed up by a sperm whale that's like 80 feet long.
Right.
So the premise of that's like, seems weird and unrealistic, but then like the guy who wrote it did so much crazy research of like, not only is it possible, but like here's like what would happen and like, you know, all these different things that he has to overcome in order to escape. But like it's a very much like a 128 hours, was that it?
Yes.
But it's like that a lot, like where it's a lot of self-reflection, and like he had a really kind of a troubled history with his dad. And there's just a lot of cut back and forth with flashbacks of him trying to figure out like what his dad was really about and what their relationship was about. And there's just a lot of really cool emotional revelations throughout the book. And the moments of him surviving inside the whale are super cool and like crazy.
Sounds
like,
really good.
Yeah. Like there's a sequence where like the whale swallows like a school of luminescent jellyfish. He doesn't have a light inside the whale, obviously. Yeah. So he knows it's a jellyfish because it's stinging him and they're like lit up when they sting. So he grabs like, he finds like a piece of trash in the whale's stomach, like a sock or something, like a clothing. And he wraps it around his hand and then he like puts his hand through the jellyfish so that it wraps around his hand. And every time it goes out, like he like, you know, agitates it, like knocks it up against the side of the whale to like make it sting his hand that's already protected, and that's what he uses as like his lantern.
Then he sees a puppet.
Yeah.
Where's my dad?
He's like, don't talk to me about dads. I have a dad problem. You're just a puppet.
I'm a real boy.
And then he wakes up and Tim Burton spoons him. Bring it home. Gotta bring it home.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, so it's pretty good. Interesting read. Like, it was recommended to me by Audible, of all places.
Sure.
I was like, sure.
They know a thing or two about books.
Yeah, I mean, would you think.
Did you listen to it, or did you read it?
No, so I did listen to it.
Okay.
Instead of,
that's
like,
fine.
Physically reading it.
That's fair.
But
was it, like, did it have sound effects?
No, but I'm glad it didn't, because it's a very graphic book. It's a very intensely graphic. Like, I can handle, like, I mean, it's, like, not so graphic to where, like, it made me sick, but I'm like, I feel like squeamish people would have a hard time reading this, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of bodily fluids splashing and squishing and gross things ripping apart. And
now I'm getting queasy. Moving on.
Yeah. Do you got anything else?
No, you can bring it home. You got anything else?
Fighting
that seasonal depression?
I mean, the last thing, I'll have more to say next time around, but I did pick up the new Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yeah?
Just a couple hours in. It's pretty cool. Pretty much the same thing as the previous one.
Yeah.
But that's fine, because that one was good too, so more of good is fine.
Yeah. Did your save transfer over well?
Yeah. And then you also get like extra little bonus items and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
Oh, neat.
Like if you have certain save files from like the demo or like this version or that version kind of thing. Because, like, it came out originally on PS4, but then PS4 owners could upgrade it to PS5 and get, like, a little DLC pack with it.
Neat.
Like, an extra story mission. So if you have all that on your hard drive, then they give you, like, a whole bunch of extra stuff.
Sweet.
That you can't get. I don't know if you can get in the game regularly or if it's, like, hard to get.
Sure.
But anyway, so I picked that up. Also started playing Mario vs. Donkey Kong remake on Switch. That just came out.
That's one I feel like I want to play. Because I played the original... Because that was a sequel remake, whatever, to that old Game Boy one.
Yeah.
And that Game Boy one was really good.
Yeah, see, I never played a single Mario versus Donkey Kong. It was really good. Ever.
So this is good?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a lot of fun. A lot of cool puzzles that some of them are, like, super simplistic, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's different little mechanics that you can tweak to make it harder or easier. But then there's some that are like, I have no idea how to beat this. I have no clue how to beat this puzzle. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah.
With, like, the constraints that they put on you, like, time stuff or whatever. But no, it's good. I enjoy it. I think it's pretty cool. I feel like I missed out on a whole series of games that were, like, casually fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah. No, I haven't played a good puzzle game in a while.
And then Metroid Prime, the remaster on Switch, I also picked that up. That brings me back.
Yeah, I was never a fan. I didn't play a lot of GameCube stuff anyways, but...
You didn't like Metroid Prime?
No. Nah. I mean, I didn't, like, hate it or anything, but...
Yeah. Well, I have a friend that hated it because of the 3D... Like, solely because it was 3D.
Yeah, no, that's gross to me.
Like, it's gross that he hated it, or gross that it's 3D?
Don't hate it because it's 3D.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah.
Like, hate it because you don't like it.
Okay, all right.
Not because you're like, ugh. Because I feel like that's a little bit, too, where I was like, oh, Metroid, but I'm like, kind of wish it was 2D. But I'm a big Metroidvania fan or whatever, so...
Yeah.
Moving away from that, it's just kind of like, not what I want.
Prince of Persia game, man.
Yeah, I do.
Fantastic.
I think I need to get another New Game Plus Starfield under my belt first.
Do you?
Yeah.
No, you don't, Philip. You
don't. I want to know what happens.
What do you mean?
There's apparently at some point, if you do New Game Plus enough, there's like yet another Starborn character that shows up.
What?
And they start creeping on you while you're like visiting cities and stuff.
They mean creeping on you? Like they're trying to kill you?
Well, if you play through the main game, that's like the first story.
Yeah.
But later, they'll just be, like, hanging out in bars watching you.
That's weird.
And they're like, can't wait for you to get those artifacts so we can have our classic showdown.
So weird.
I know. That's so interesting to me.
It does sound...
But it's like, so I could jump through the New Game Plus portal, but then I'm like, the whole plot is you're supposed to keep going through them so you can keep leveling up all your Dragonborn powers. So I'm like, maybe I should get some more powers first before I jump through the New Game Plus hole. You got me talking about Starfield. I didn't go play it.
I did. That's how we bring it back home, baby. Sandwich that sucker.
If only Tim Burton was here.
If only. He'd spoon me. Or you.
10,000 spoons and all you need is a knife.
And with that being said, that's going to bring this episode of Geeking On to a close.
Catch us next time as we play Castle Panic.
At the disco.